Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth. Drama.
All right. Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Big Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-Word. And I'm joined with my stunning co-host, Miss 100%. And tonight, we have, and let me get the drum roll going, hip-hop legend, rock and roll, Hall of Fame honoree, and MC extraordinaire, Raheem of the Furious Five. So, if y'all want to holler, the number is 646-929-2037. Once again, number is 646-929-2037. Welcome to join the chat room, Blog Talk chat room. You go to the Smooth Drama site. You can go to the chat room page there. You can see my face that's made for radio. And, of course, you get to holler at, once again, my stunning co-host, Miss 100%. Tell them where they can find you at if they want to catch up to you.
Well, of course, they can catch me on Facebook, Miss 100% Smith, all spelled out. And you can also email me personally. I will reply to your email if you're not talking crazy. The email address is imnotonbs@yahoo.com. That's imnotonbs@yahoo.com.
All right. And you can also catch me on Facebook, tag my yearbook. I'm Dick Hugger. And you want to follow me on Twitter? I am Smooth Drama. Speaking of talking crazy, Javaris Crittenden, come on down. You're the next contestant on My Ass is Dumb. For those of you who don't know, I guess maybe you're not a sports fan, Javaris Crittenden, former NBA player, played for the Lakers, played for the Washington Wizards, and if I'm not mistaken, he also played for the Memphis Grizzlies. This fool, I don't even understand it. He got robbed for $55,000 worth of jewelry. So, you know, of course, he can't just like say it, well, I'm doing all right, I'll make it back. He's that Dave Chappelle when keeping it real goes wrong.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I'm going to go get mine back. End up pulling out a gun and allegedly shooting Julian Jones, who had nothing to do with it. Of course, his attorney said he will be exonerated. He had nothing to do with it, but...
Gonna be exonerated.
So supposedly he is, but you know,
that's a basketball player.
Yeah, basketball player. But I don't think that's gonna happen.
He's not gonna get away with that.
Yeah. And you know, it's one of them sad things because once again we're talking about the whole black on black crime and. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm back on black crime, the whole thug. The black thug is the worst thug on the face of the earth. I mean, you think about it. The black thug never gets the other thug. They get the innocent person every time. I mean, it goes without saying that they get the innocent person every time. I mean, you think about the I mean, you know, we going racial here. You think about the white thug, like the guy in Norway, he picked a group of people and said, I'm going to kill him. And he killed them. When you think about the Mexican thug, they never find the innocent heads of people. They always find the innocent heads of the enemy.
Right.
For some reason, the black thug can never, I don't know, maybe he's shooting at the carnival too much. They need to go to the gun range or something. You know,
they play too much PlayStation and Xbox.
Right, exactly. They think that's gun practice. And so they get out on the street, they don't never, I mean, I believe my Uncle Larry said it best one day. He's like, once they learn how to shoot and they kill each other, then the rest of us can live a normal life.
Yeah, I had an idea, and I think other people might have the same idea. It might have been said before, but I was saying, instead of sending, you know, the troops that, you know, overseas now fighting for us, why don't they send the people that like to shoot other people over there? I mean, they don't have any respect for human life, and including their own, so send them over there. It's more of them than it is the U.S. Army, it seems like.
Hold on. Now, think about what you just said. You're talking about sending folks who never shoot the right people to fight against the enemy. Think about that for a second. The war gonna be, or the insurgency, or tactical mission, with whatever one you want to call it, it'll be over with real quick. Not won't it? Because they'll end up killing each other or misfiring, Plaxico Burris style, and shooting themselves in the leg or something.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, need to go to thug school.
They like to shoot so much. They like to play with guns. I mean, or put them on an island by themselves and let them just shoot each other.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. Okay, sorry about that. Technical difficulty.
Really?
Huh?
Really?
Really. anyway, I guess talking about black thugs can get you knocked off the air. Speaking of thugging it out, you know, Barry Bonds, the judge upheld his criminal conviction on obstruction of justice. Check this out. His obstruction of justice was basically he wouldn't tell on himself, and the dude that they had as his number one witness refused to talk. So he went to jail before he talked. You ready? Hold on a second. Caller, you on air. Caller? Okay. All right. I guess, caller, you're not on the air. I was saying, basically, he got charged for obstruction of justice, right?
Yeah.
So after being charged for obstruction of justice, even though he didn't tell on himself and his witness didn't tell on him, and their whole case was, well, he made evasive, false, or misleading testimony with no proof, of course. All right, so then we contrast that to the Roger Clemens mistrial. Why was there a Roger Clemens mistrial? Because the prosecutor showed jurors evidence that he had ruled out, you know, videotape revelations that a teammate said that he told his wife Clemens confessed to using the drug, as well as he had a dude who was falling all over himself waiting to testify. But his was declared a mistrial and he wasn't charged. But Barry Bonds, who there was no evidence against,
He got sent to jail.
Yeah, misleading information. That's what they call it.
What?
Yeah.
So if I don't talk, I'm misleading you. What happened to the right to remain silent?
I guess you give that up when they don't like you.
No more right to be silent.
Yeah, none of that. I mean, you have to rat on yourself. Now, think about that for a second. Barry Bonds is guilty, even though nobody has evidence against him. Roger Clemens is mistrial and is pretty much free to go, even though there's a ton of evidence against him, with people willing to testify.
Now, you know, we can take our theory and apply it to something else, right? And I know everybody's started hearing about it, but oh well, this is here one more time.
One more time.
Casey Anthony trial, you have a woman who murdered her child. The parents testified against their own daughter, and you have the friends testify, and she even confessed to some things as far as duct taping a baby and putting a baby in a swimming pool and all that other stuff. Then you have a woman by the name of China Arnold in Ohio who was convicted of microwaving her own baby, and every witness that they brought up, character and so forth, all testified in her behalf. And even there was some, I guess people were thinking that it had to have been another person because she was high and drunk and passed out when it happened. So there, you know, it was always the thought that somebody else could have done it. But she was convicted of it with really without any evidence. So what's really going on?
Well, no, it just you can't have evidence and be charged. It has to be no evidence for you to be guilty. And on that note, we gonna go on break. this is Raheem.
Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. This was a chapter in my life, but I turned the page. It's not about how many times you get knocked down, it's about how many times you get back up. I'm still standing, baby. Come on! Attended Truman to my sophomore year, laid it with spells. A player hating teacher said I'd never excel. Had my first hit song in 10th grade. Used to bop down corridors and hear cats whisper, "You paid." Boredom, though eventually let up the truancy. Getting stacked to tall shit on tour was new to me. I'm from Lambert, where thugs get more respect than the college grad. The past man's class needs a lot of cash. Attention shorter than a minute. Porn sending hit both chicks and foreskin. Loving this life, I'm caught up in till I was introduced to this chick called bass. And yo, the time we spent together, I could never erase. Life took a turn for the worst. The glass shit had me obeying my thirst. Visions of myself laying in the hearse till I paid the price. skated on ice for chasing pipe dreams. Just another day in the life of a fiend. I blew more dough than most adults see in a lifetime. At 18, they have to chase cream or like the 18.
Okay.
I was copping when shit was 100 grams.
Right.
In the back room with a fever, getting done with my man. No less than half a quarter click, kept chicks keyed to the gills. Get flicked, no telling what your daughter gonna lick after hitting the fish kill. Tweaking and I can't sit still, still, and I'm knowing that this shit kills. I took the fall, but I bounced back. I got bigger dreams than bringing the ounce back. One burn gets you 25, can you count that? Are you ready for a sell or a grave? I doubt that. I took a fall, but I bounce back. I got bigger dreams than bringing the ounce back. One bird gets you 25. Can you count that? Are you ready for a cell or a grave? I doubt that. I got high with hope from my friends.
Okay.
Till eventually diminishing my wealth and my ends. Felt as if I was shackled to a bass rock. Chained to my ankle, but mama was always there. And I thank you. A real friend once said I was headed for self-destruction. But be totally unwilling to take some helpful instruction. My career took a nosedive. Finally, all I hit rock bottom. And if the pipe to talk, you probably hear me say, got him. Habit was expensive, cost energy a day. Chopped myself off in this prison and tossed the key away. Put a call in the guard, but the line was busy. Threw a brick in the bowl, but it only made me dizzy. Caught between the rock and the glass, watching the cloud, clocking the blast. I laugh now, but ain't no blocking the past. With no self-esteem, I gaze in the mirror and my reflection. But the Bible said after death, there is resurrection. Been a long, lonely road, coming back from the brink. Got disgusted with myself through the crack in the sink. But just the clothes on my back, at least I don't know no death. It's kinda ill, no BS, yet and still no regrets. I retired from high times, inspired by white lines. I'm stimulated now when I'm sitting right rhymes. So think about this before your life go up in smoke. Don't shit go better with coke. Took a fall, but I bounce back. I got bigger dreams to bring in the ounce back. One bird hit 25, can you count that? Are you ready for a cell or a grave? I doubt that. I took a fall, but I bounce back. I got bigger dreams to bring in the ounce back. One bird hit 25, can you count that? Are you ready for a cell or a grave? I doubt that.
Together you got to move, drummer, smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Raheem in his cut, one. And we're about to get the brother on the line right now. So we can talk about him and what he got happening here. I'll let the brother in a minute, and it is definitely time to talk hip-hop. Not that I can't talk hip-hop all day, all night, all week, all year, for the rest of my life.
Yo.
Yo, welcome to Smooth Drama, brother. How you doing?
I'm good. And yourself, my brother?
I'm good. I'm good.
Welcome to Smooth Drama, Raheem. This is Miss 100%. How are you?
I'm great. And yourself?
Great.
All right, man. So
yeah, I'm just like a pimple on a high fashion model's face. Just very happy to be here.
All right. So tell us what you've been up to since last time we talked there.
Well, I'm currently working on a mixtape. project. I'm working on my autobiography. I'm working on two screenplays. I'm working on an album, and I'm just all over the place. Like I can't be still. I love what I do. I love what I do, and I ain't gonna stop till the wheels fall off.
That's all you got?
Yep. That's right.
Just a mixtape, an album, autobiography, screenplays. That's all.
Yep, that's it. I ain't doing too much.
Right. So talk about the album and the mixtape.
Well, the album, I probably won't release the album until probably like March, April of next year. Because I'm going to release the mixtape project first, you know, get my buzz up a little bit. You know, there are quite a few people, you know, who know who I am and you know, and know that I still have the ability that I have. But then there's a, you know, a great number of people who don't know who I am, don't know what I have to offer to today's music industry, today's listeners. And I want everybody to know because I love what I do. Right. And that's the only reason why I continue to do what I do. I, you know, they say that when you find a job that you love, you never go to work a day in your life. And I ain't never been to work.
All right. Well, hold on a second. I think we have a caller.
Okay.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, what's up, Dick Hugger?
How you doing, man?
Hello?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Man.
You're on the air. You got any questions for Raheem?
Yeah, I have a question. What is your take on what you're saying now and hip-hop, and what are some of the things that are different, or is this just what is your take on, I'm just basically saying, what is your take on the, what's going on today in hip-hop, and do you see the progression of hip-hop today, is that something that you see as positive in the sense of the direction, the message that is many of the artists are propagating?
Well, I think that in everything, not just hip-hop, in everything there's positive and negative. And it would, you know, we would be hard-pressed to find something that didn't have some aspects of positive and negative, because you know that's the way that the world is. That's the way that, you know, human beings are, because you know as it is above, so shall it be below. And so when you hear that phrase quoted, what they are making reference to when they say, as it is above, so shall it be below. Below, that's the lower side of man. And the lower man's lower nature causes us to sometimes indulge in things that are not morally, you know, righteous or whatever. And I'm not the one to judge anybody, you know. I think that when hip hop began, it was frivolous. It was about a party, and then there were artists such as my group, my former group, and a few artists that came after us that had some social commentary to add, and you know that brought another dynamic to the hip-hop culture. But by no means am I the one to point the finger at today's practitioners of the hip-hop culture and say, you know, they're misogynizing women, they are, you know, glorifying drugs, whatever. I mean, so does Hollywood. You know what I mean? When you go to a movie and you see any blockbuster movie in the movie theaters, I'm sure it contains elements of all of those things. But we don't scrutinize the movies that Hollywood has to offer that impressionable youth go to the movie theaters and spend their parents' money to see, because, you know, that's way beyond our control. And you know what? Actually, the hip-hop culture is right now beyond our control, because it was embraced by the music industry, and the music industry and the hip-hop culture have absolutely nothing to do with one another. The music industry doesn't give a damn about real hip-hop.
Right.
Wow. They don't embrace it because, you know, the majority of people who practice real hip-hop are not in the forefront of the music industry and don't have the luxury of being able to be a part of that. So, but I'm sorry, this is a long-winded answer, but you kind of gave me a question with a few parts to it. So I'll close it out by saying this. today's youth, who are in the forefront of the music industry, who we see and hear every day on television and on the radio, what have you, there were people when we started who told us what we were doing was a fad, told us, you know, what the lyrics that we were reciting, spinning, whatever, were not, you know, desirable words to hear or whatever, and nobody wanted to hear that. And here we are 35 plus years later, and it's become a multi-billion dollar industry. So, you know, the conversation in hip hop, that's changed because, you know, obviously times have changed. So, you know, the times, the conversation is indicative of what's going on right now. And, you know, when we were out, our conversation was indicative of what was going on when we were out. So
we all know.
I was going to say that I'm old enough where, you know, I was witness and I was a teenager when you guys came out with the message. And I saw all of the backlash where rap, you know, all the demonstrations where they were burning rap CDs, and you had the Dolores Tucker and all of that, which this generation today, a lot of them don't even know that history, that rap was not accepted by the mainstream media when rap first came out. Now, my last question is for some business advice. If you had one advice, two advice to give new up and coming rappers that are entering the music industry, what would that be? Especially when it regards to finances.
Well, a few things I would advise them on. First, get yourself a great lawyer. Don't sign any
contracts
unless you have allowed your legal counsel to review it and you know, make the necessary changes, because a contract is an agreement between two parties. And when you receive a contract from the person who is interested in placing you under contract, the contract is to their benefit, because it was generated by their legal counsel, or it was generated by them. So obviously they're going to put all of the necessary clauses in that contract to make it as beneficial to them as they possibly can. So it's up to you and your legal counsel to review your contract thoroughly, get a clear understanding of it, and then make the necessary changes so that the contract is not so one-sided, and then you give the contract back. I'm sorry?
No, he was just agreeing with you. And, Carla, thank you for the question.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, no problem. And besides that, I would say don't be a follower. You know, it's really easy to be a follower. You know, you see and hear something that appeals to you, that, you know, another one of your peers, you know, as an artist releases, and, you know, it's cool. And, you know, imitation is the highest form of flattery. But, again, you want to put yourself in a class by yourself. And you can't do that if you follow in the footsteps of your predecessors to the point where there's no distinction between who you are and who they are.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's called generic. You know, that means, you know, everybody is basically the same. And
so
for a minute, hip-hop was like that. it's
well,
diversifying a little bit more now.
Hold on now. Now, you're saying that it's diversifying now. I mean, we can say there's diversification, but there's no mainstream diversification. I think that's the main distinction. So, I mean, like, when we, like you talk about when y'all came out with the message and you have the KRS-One, but you would have a Biz Markie. You have your Young MCs and you have your Brand Nubian. See, now you just have a Young MC and a Biz Markie, and there's no Brand Nubian, KRS-One, Eric B., Rakim.
Well, I would... I agree with that to a point, but all of the artists that you've named that came after my group, they came years after my group. So the diversity in hip-hop was a gradual thing. It didn't start out diverse. It started out, you know, one way. It was very frivolous, and then, you know, we came in with the message and the social commentary, and then shortly thereafter, you know, a few years after the mid-80s, then, you know, Eric B. and Rakim, KRS-One, Public Enemy, and, you know, hip-hop was very, very diverse during the mid-late 80s. And then when the 90s came in, the diversity left, and it was all about gangster rap. And not to, you know, diminish the credibility or the value of what gangster rap brought to the hip hop culture. It did add something to the hip hop culture, but it also took away, because at the end of the day, everybody's just not a gangster. Everybody just, you know, that's just not everybody's story.
That's the thing. I don't look at it as gangster rap. I look at it as R&B.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much what gangster rap has become nowadays, because so many, you know, the airwaves and the culture in general is so inundated with artists who are like their predecessors. You know, when Pac came out, when Biggie came out, when those two artists were at their peak, everybody wanted to be like them. And that's not new, you know, in the scope of you know, something that has the ability to impress upon kids the way that hip-hop has. You know, when we came out, seemingly every MC, if they had to pick somebody to be like, they wanted to be like Melly Mel. Every group that came out around the era that we came out, they wanted to be like the Furious Five. Shortly after that, you know, Run DMC came out. Everybody wanted to be like Run DMC to some degree. When N.W.A. came out, you know, then you had groups surfacing that wanted to be like N.W.A. P.E. came out, you had groups surfacing wanted to be like P.E. and so forth and so on. So that's not a new concept, but overall, at the end of the day, the diversity, I think, is coming back, because there's only so many times, you could hear the same story just told by a different person.
Well,
you know what I mean?
That's exactly what I was going to say. The difference, well, I'm younger than you guys, but I was 80s and 90s, and even in the 80s and 90s, to me, hip-hop rap was way better than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
There was a story to tell, and you guys told the story, and it made the audience interested, and you brought us in to your world. Now, it's just a bunch of words strung together, and they have a contest to see who can say their words the fastest, and who has the best bling, who has the latest, you know, clothing line going, you know, who has a fragrance out. That's what, to me, hip-hop has become. And I was on YouTube earlier, and I was actually looking at the message video, hadn't, you know, seen it in so long. And there was a comment, of course, I guess by a younger person, saying that the video was, you know, fake, that it was nothing real about it. But to them, what's going on today is their reality versus where we come from. We know what reality and real really is. So it can be, you know, the perception of it is subjective, you know, to the audience.
I gotta say something in here. I know we talking about diversity. I think there are a lot of young cats who are actually doing what you would call the real hip hop. It just nobody hears them. I mean,
they don't get out there. They don't get any exposure.
Right, I know that, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, I think, and this is one of the things I talked to YZ, and he was like, "Yeah, man, look, there's a lot of cats who do hip hop. It's just they don't get the exposure." So we got to stop saying there's no diversity and that it would be better. It's just that we just need to recognize there are a lot of cats that are out there that are doing it and that are good. It's just
right.
You just gotta know where to find them.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, look at the time that we're living in. You know, we're being told that there is, you know, a depression going on, so to speak. But also, a lot of us that know about struggling, we're like, what depression? What are you talking about? This is how it is every day. So with all of the glorification of, you know, money and things, you know, the materialistic things, that's being put on the forefront. So if an artist is not rapping about prosperity nowadays, then nobody wants to listen to it. They don't care if it's real, if it's fake, if there's diversity or none. They want to hear, you know, that they one day that they can have a Lamborghini, 5 Lamborghinis, and, you know, a 12-bedroom house and all of that, not really realizing that most of the stuff on those videos is just for show.
Right.
They don't know how long these artists have to work to just make their first
to obtain those things.
Well, that's what I want to ask you this, Raheem.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about your upcoming album. What can we expect to hear from you in your upcoming, well, first your mixtape and then going into your album? What can we look forward to?
Well, my mixtape, as well as my album, what I hope to accomplish with both pieces of work is to give people a dose of truth serum. Because, you know, I find that, you know, I do shows pretty often around the tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, whatever. And from my performances, from my live performances, I very often get people coming up to me after I've performed, crying. They want to hug me. They want to share their experiences with me because of different experiences of mine that I've shared with them in song. And so I feel like the industry is so inundated with smoking mirrors and illusions that it's hard to distinguish fact from fiction. And so rather than, you know, glorify drugs or whatever, I mean, I'm going to talk about drugs in my songs, but only as they relate to my experience with them. And I'm, you know, I ain't never sold no keys or nothing like that. I used drugs before, and I'm definitely going to talk about that because I don't use drugs anymore, and it's been quite a good number of years since I've used drugs. And I maintained my mental faculties and my health as a result of waking up when I did. And I have a story to tell, and I really believe that people are going to appreciate it because it's the truth.
Well, now isn't that what you're doing with your autobiography that you're working on also?
Yeah, it's just truth serum all the way around. Like I can't escape it because it's my reality. You know, everyone's reality is different, and I respect everyone's reality. But what I'm, you know, again, what we just finished discussing is everyone's not talking about their reality. The majority of people are talking about the smoking mirrors but I can say this, in all fairness and honesty, you know, to the artists of today who are in the mainstream, because, you know, as we also stated, the mainstream artists are not usually the artists today who we are getting you stated real hip hop from, but at the end of the day, I don't personally get caught up in distinguishing or classifying something as real hip hop and not real hip hop. I respect all of the artists who are practitioners of the culture, and I feel as though they're all real hip hop. But since we are not in control of our culture, like perfect example, if you don't listen to, you know, The Quiet Storm, when was the last time you turned on the most popular station in your city and heard a slow song? Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like R&B music is dead.
Yeah.
Like R&B hip hop. Right. Killed R&B music.
Well,
it really did.
I think that the difference between that would be you're talking about soul music. I think the soul music is there because the R&B and what you would call hip hop is like that R&B thug rap.
It's like they merge together, like they.
Yeah. Right. It's all one and the same now. Hip hop and R&B are the same music nowadays. Whereas, okay, before, like let's say 20 some odd years ago. An R&B singer could make an album, and if there was a popular rap artist, maybe they might feature them on their album. But nowadays, it's just the opposite. Popular rap artists have to help break R&B artists nowadays, because if they don't, no one's going to pay attention to them.
Well, I mean that's the whole point. Like you said, they're one and the same. They're
mm-hmm.
they're a mixture, a merger, which has diluted all of the music because they're all doing the same thing. So you don't really check for new and original artists.
Right. Exactly. Like I was just listening earlier today to R. Kelly's Love Letter album. And it's an extremely adult contemporary album, but if you listen to it, like if you listen to R. Kelly, I mean, you know, with his idiosyncrasies and shortcomings or whatever, which we all have, I'm not justifying anything that he's done or whatever, but as an artist, he's a phenomenal artist, and as a vocalist, I swear. Like singers today, they don't sing like that anymore.
Yeah, Trey Songz seemed to think he better than R. Kelly. And
No.
We not even going to get into
that.
All right.
Trey who?
Right, exactly.
That's all fluff.
Yeah.
That's all fluff. You know what I mean? A brother, you know, I salute him because he's an aspiring artist, you know, and he's getting his paper, and I salute any black man, black woman that's you know, not running around with a gun in their head, in their hands, taking people's money from them or whatever. But he's a product of the industry. He's a product of the environment, which, you know, which supports him.
Right,
R. Kelly, he is not.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, he's an artist who can sing very well. I wanted to ask you. I mean, because I know a lot of people out there listening would also want to know. I mean, if we wanted to catch up to you, I mean, I know, but people listening, if they want to catch up to you, man, where they can catch up to you at?
Oh, well, you can go. I just completed my new website, www.rahim. Rahim is spelled R-A-H-I-E-M, E-L-B-E-Y. So that's www.rahimelbay.com. You can go there. And right now I have, I think I have three musical selections that I've recorded in the last three or four months that you could listen to. But you know, just for your listeners, if you all don't mind, you know, I'll give you a little acapella right quick if you care to hear that.
Make it happen.
Okay. Though I was born in turbulent times, I promised self there would never be an obstacle more virtuous than I. No external force could ever alter my course or halter my motion. I attribute that all to my coaching. One man is an island, but he's surrounded by ocean. Keep harpoons ready when them sharks approach him. Detractors throwing wrenches in hopes they would propel him to his former way of living in which he had grown accustomed. I done roared with lions. I done soared with eagles. I done scorched with iron. Drew swords against evil when I done wrestled poverty. Fist fought with hopeless, detrimental probably, but this course is for soldiers. I hold these truths self-evident. Nothing touches me when I'm in my element. Jump out the window for the hell of it. I believe I could fly, so I elevate. Piss levitate, rock so relevant. Reload, coming with rounds. Fetty guys to pieces, got ones. Put pipe up a squirrel, and behold, he coming with clouds, and every eye I could see. Rise the sun, and I light up your world. They buried me alive, swearing I would perish, but I clawed through the dirt till I climbed to the surface. Burned me at the stake like a common animal, but they made a mistake and found out I was inflammable. Lined me up to shoot me, but their guns backfired. I guess they're too low on the totem pole to ever whack guy. No setbacks, limitations, or boundaries can hinder or ground me. It's a new administration in town. I self law and master. I'm in Ra. Look inside myself to find all the answers. Escape the prison I was being held captive. So forget what you knew of me before. This is the after I was trapped in darkness till I turned on the light switch. Realized I'm Ra, my L, my ISIS. My contribution to this game is nothing short of priceless. My fees are kind of up these days. You want to check your priceless? Been hot for plenty years, way before that rapper's delight shit. Walked in righteous ciphers before you guys was in diapers. I'm up there on the list. I ain't saying that I'm the nicest, but they call on Robbie because they said the game was in a crisis. I reload, coming with rounds. Fetty guys to pieces, got ones. Put pipe up a squirrel, and behold, he coming with clouds, and every eye I could see. Rise the sun, and I light up your world.
All right. Now that's hip-hop. That's hip-hop.
All right, so
I can understand everything you were saying, and I can play. You brought me into your world, ladies and gentlemen. That's how it's done.
Yes, and all I know is when that mixtape comes, man, I want to see it. I want to hear it.
No doubt. You know, you will definitely be among the first to get that.
All right. I mean, because you know, when you come out with it, we debuting it live here.
That's what it is, my G. I look forward to it, and you know, anytime y'all want me back on or whatever, you know, it's all good. Just holler at me.
Oh, just every week. No biggie.
Well, you know, if we could figure out a way to you know make it so that you know we're not boring, we're giving them something new every time out, you know. Whenever you want me on the show, young, it's all good.
But you know, I'm gonna hold you to that because I like to have a Hall of Fame hip hop honoree in my Steve Dow circle.
Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate that, and you know, thank you for having me.
Oh.
And what else? I'm trying to come out there. Like I'm trying to come out your way real soon. My nephew lives in Dago, and he had a little barber shop.
Come
out there and kick it with him for a minute. What you say?
You let me know when you come to the West Coast, and I'm there.
That's what it is. Yeah, I used to live in Dago. I used to live in La Jolla for a minute.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We'll definitely talk because I got something else I need to talk to you also. So we'll talk off the air.
All right, that's what. Yo, tell me something. Is that that little spot, the Post, still popping where the enlisted men's girlfriends used to be? They girlfriends and their wives and all that. Wow.
I think that one is gone.
Wow.
I think now, man. They like now. Nah, we can't have.
What a spot.
Yeah. Right, man. Thank you so much. And I will definitely be hollering at you because I got some things I want to holler at you about. Thank you once again.
That's what it is.
Yeah, you the man, dog. And can't wait for that mixtape.
Thank you again.
All right.
Peace.
You take care. Peace.
Good night.
All right. Whew. That was Raheem showing that, yeah, you know, I may be quote-unquote old school hip-hop legend, but my shit is relevant now.
He bringing the heat.
Right. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick station reminder break, and we'll be right back.
Together you got drama.
All right, welcome back. Oh man, I'm still kind of fired up behind that. It's like,
yeah.
Oh. Anyway, so speaking of bringing the heat, you know we got to talk about ignorance that's out there in the world, right?
Yeah.
Talking about stating the obvious, Miss 100%. Now you know that the United States they had to apologize to the government of Guatemala because they were doing the syphilis and gonorrhea tests just like they did here in the United States.
Uh-huh.
So they come out, they set up a commission, right?
Uh-huh.
And the commission says the U.S. scientists knew Guatemala syphilis tests were unethical. I'm like, really?
So they wait. They set up a commission. So they spent a lot of tax dollars to set up a commission just to say, yeah, we fucked up.
Hold on. They set up a presidential commission for the study of bioethical issues. And the issues were called a shameful piece of medical history.
That's not funny.
No, it's not. I mean, but it's like, okay, like you said, they spent all that money to say they fucked up.
And they really didn't say that. They said it was unethical, which, you know, they the argument against illegal and unethical, you know that whole argument. But they didn't really come right out and admit complete wrongdoing. They just said, yeah, it may have been kind of shady what they did.
Just a little shady. Just a little shady. Not a lot shady, a little shady.
Yeah, it's only a little shady to give somebody a disease and that they can't get rid of. That's just a little shady.
Hold on. Now, it was a couple. So you selling the disease is short. It was
a couple?
Yeah, it was syphilis and gonorrhea.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was, you know, come on. It was the 2-for-1 special.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just unethical. That was all. It was like what they call the white lie.
Yeah. So
it was like half of a lie. It was halfway bad. That was all.
I don't know about you, but me, a lie is a lie.
Yeah.
A partial lie is still a lie.
Yeah, and partially bad is...
It's still bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that just makes too much sense. But now, speaking of making too much sense, you know me. I'm a proponent of shit making sense. I saw this, and there's a whole new industry here for designer vaginas.
<I'm sorry.
laughs> You know.
You can design your own kitty now.
Yeah, but you can touch it. You can touch it up now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, I mean, like, you know, I know that there are people out there who think, oh yeah, well, you know, mine might not be the best or whatnot, but you know, you got one that works. Why fix what ain't broke?
Wow.
I mean, think about it. You know, vagina.
I mean, is regular people actually doing this? Like regular, I could see like a porn star doing it, or somebody that likes, you know, to have sex a lot, so they worried about the way that their kitty looks. But really, I mean, who's really going through with it?
Hey, all I know is that, I mean, you know, it was the facelift. I mean, and we've seen it over and over again. With your plastic surgeries, your Michael Jacksons, your Sammy Sosas bleaching their skin. People not comfortable in their own skin, and so now it's like people aren't comfortable in their own vagina. I mean, we already know about the whole penis, and there's a whole $1 billion industry. I never thought that we'd be talking about cosmetic vagina.
Well, but you know what? Something I just thought of. Isn't it funny how now we've talked about before that there is a double standard when it comes to men and women. Men can do one thing and it's cool. You're a player, but if a woman does it, she's the nastiest slut that ever walked the face of the earth, right?
Right.
So why is it that we can be equal when it comes to crack like this, and I do mean crack like this, you know, we can get the implants and all that different kind of stuff, but when it comes to real issues, why can't we get, you know, the same or equal playing ground there?
Well, I mean, that's the whole point I bring this up. I mean, okay, men have a problem with their penises. That doesn't mean that women have to, okay, we want to trump y'all. Y'all get your dicks fixed. We gonna get our vaginas fixed. That's where we're at.
Okay.
On that note, we gonna say first thank you for my man Raheem for coming on and educating us as always and bringing the heat. I want to thank my stunning co-host, as always, for being the great and gracious host that you are.
You're so wonderful.
Thank you. So, on that note, I'm Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-Word. For my homegirl, Miss 100%, we are Smooth Drama. We are out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.